Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Radio Accent on Ilona Europa. What can I say? It's weird weather in Los Angeles, but maybe change is good like that. I will say dark. Sun is going down for sure, and it's cold. It's like 70 something. It's cold. Anyway, I'm in a studio, of course, and I have guests with me. I will say, maybe I introduce you both right now, because we'll be waiting for phone call from another guest talking about singing competition. But right now, let's introduce themselves.
Hi, this is Taylor Van Arsdale, and I am a author and writer and screenwriter, and I'm here to chat about my book, Cocaine to Bane, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the Inside Story of the Hollywood Guitar Center.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting. And I am on a page, 140, 50-something, 49, I think. And I will be having a lot of questions about your book. But thank you for Barnes & Noble that I cannot go there in peace. Just really read the book and really, really enjoy. I think it's a very easy reading. And like I say, in the moment when I start reading the book, I'm like, gosh, I'm so angry at the writer, so angry. And then, you know what? People probably say, why is she so angry? But I will explain why. I just love you right now. We are like friends, and your book is just hot. Everybody needs to read the book. One more time, title?
Cocaine to Bane, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the Inside Story of the Hollywood Guitar Center.
Ouch! And we are like 10 minutes away or 15 minutes away from the beautiful guitar center in Santa Monica, yes?
Well, yeah, there's several, actually. There's one out here in the valley.
Yeah, the main big one.
There's one in Hollywood. That was the iconic main store, the one that I worked at.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was the first woman hired there.
Come on, we'll be having so much to talk about at that. Again, title of the book?
Cocaine to Bane, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the Inside Story of the Hollywood Guitar Center.
Gosh, she knows how to put the title. That is intriguing. Lovely. And we also have today with us, I think like 7 or 8 times already in past.
Been a while now, yeah.
Yes, but I missed you, Yanni Collin, our great, amazing-looking gentleman, young gentleman.
Thank you.
Originally
thank you.
From Canada.
Yes.
You are an actor.
I'm an actor, artist. I just like to discover things, you know.
Actor who likes to discover things.
Yeah, recently it's been just about discovering more, you know, just discovering more, you know, and have more perspective on things that happen to other people, you know.
Wow. Then listening to you and then talking about book. Because you are 20 years old, and I think our beautiful book writer was 20 when she started to telling a story about your life. Yes, you were 20 then.
Yeah, I was just a young pup.
Very
all the way out here in LA by myself. And
very similar, but very different life story.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very exciting. Then let's see. We have one more minute before hopefully Liz Scott will call to us and we'll be talking about your music out loud in the USA Song Competition 2017. And a lot of great things is happening with competition. I will be judging this competition too, but the last 30 songs with Mike Gormley, who will be here next week. And I think for the next 2 Mondays with amazing, amazing guests, and I cannot wait for these Mondays too. Anyway, okay. Hey, people. Okay, Yannick, you know, like you said, a young gentleman, 20 years old,
yes.
Alone in Los Angeles?
Alone in Los Angeles, yeah. It was a big move when I first came here. My mom helped me a lot, but, you know, just I've never been alone before coming here. So it was a big shock when I turned 18 and just came here by myself. You know, the first month I was with my mom, but after that I was by myself. So it was a big shock to change from the lifestyle of having 18. Parents and, you know,
yeah.
They could do my things, and I was just at home doing, you know, what I wanted to do.
18 years old. I had a child when I was 18. You know, life is crazy. All of us started in very different ways. I cannot wait to really talk more about this. But right now I see, hello, who we have on another side? Do we hear somebody? Hello, hello. Liz? Liz? Can I hear you? Uh-oh. Oh, Liz. Liz, if we have a problem, probably I will be needing to talk to Sam, if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Because this is a Skype connection, and hopefully... Ay, ay, ay. Hello, Liz. Okay, Liz, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, my gosh, it's perfect. I'm so happy. Last Monday, we had a phone call from Australia, no, from Spain. But my friend, she was in Australia too, but we couldn't get in connect for like maybe 10 minutes, but there was so much fun trying to, you know, really, really have our interview, which in Spain, I think was like 3 a.m, and I felt so sad for Dorotka. Hi, Sam. Thank you. Yes, we got a connection. Yes, thank you so, so much. Thank you, Sam. This is the boss enter our studio trying to see if everything is okay. Hello, Liz, one more time. Are you alone?
He's here as well. We're both here.
Who is the he?
Oh, Sam. Hang on. He was standing here beside me. Here he is.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. You know, it's just very informal, you know, but I want to say we have with us a very important guest that we love so, so much, and we'll be calling one more time about your music out loud in the USA Song Competition 2017. We have Liz Scott, and hello, Sam. Sam of Clump Jumpers, very, very, very amazing musician and producer. And right now, both of you got like, really, really into very hard work to create the best competition for not known artists, yes?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, and it's doing really, really well. We're getting entries from all around the world. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, but you know what? If you say very, very exciting, everybody is submitting. I think last time when you wrote to me, you mentioned like 1,200 people already, and still we have so, so many months ahead of us. But could you tell us a little bit more? What is this competition about?
Yes. The competition is what's called, yes, Your Music Out Loud, and it's open to all artists, songwriters, bands around the world in any genre. And they just submit their demo. It can be just a rough arrangement, or it can be full production. And they send their song in to us, which is actually the Club Jumpers website, which is www.clubjumpers.com. And they enter there. And the prize will be, for this year, will be a trip to Nashville. And they will get to work with a Grammy-nominated producer called Gary Earl, and also Sam Michaels from Club Jumpers will do an additional mix, and there'll be a very big showcase in Nashville where there'll be lots of industry people invited. And one exciting thing we do have now is we have Reverb. We're now being featured in Reverb Nation. Reverb Nation are now featuring our competition, and we've had over, I think, 2,500 people try to enter through Reverb.
That's so, so cool. I really, really wish you the best, of course, not only because I'm just part of this competition, but fact is that to find really people who are understanding how not easy it is to break anybody right now to music business, we all are musicians. And Liz Scott, you need to tell us, you are a great singer-songwriter. You are originally from Australia, yes?
Yes, originally from Australia, Sydney, and yes, and I have my new single coming out very shortly in a couple of weeks, so I'm excited for that, finally.
Send it to us, we'll be playing.
Oh, thank you, thank you. And the title's called At the Right Time, so the joke has been this song will be ready at the right time.
And, we had our conversation, I think, like two times already, and you mentioned, and we played some past winners or people that were really, really cool from the last year competition, and I am very excited today because we have something very, very special, very new, very fresh, straight from production of Sam's.
Yep. Sam Michaels, he produced the Australian rock group called Bounty Hunters. They're listening in right now in Australia. It's about 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday in Australia, and I know they're listening in. And Sam produced their song. It's called Hot on Your Heels, and already it's doing really well over here. Dan Matthews, our part of Club Jumpers, has been hearing it on a lot of the FM stations, and we're excited to hear it on your station. So I know they're very excited to be hearing you play it.
We would love to say hi to them, and I promise next maybe month we'll be having maybe like 50 minutes, and they can call in to the studio, and maybe we'll be just finding out more about this band. What about that?
Oh, I'm sure that right now where they are, I'm sure they're very excited about that. You might hear them yell screaming from way far.
That would be so, so cool. And, of course, they post there on LA, on my Accent On page on the Facebook, and people, I hope, we will be dancing to this tune. And you're right, Liz, I have extended version. Nothing wrong with that, and I think people will enjoy this song very, very much. Then one more time, if you can give us the title of the song and name of the band.
Yes, the title is?
The title of the song is Hot on Your Heels.
Okay.
Club Jumpers Mix.
Wonderful. And if I don't hear from both of you anymore, I have two guests also in the studio, then I promise next month we'll be continuing talking about our competition. And give us one more time, Liz, a place when people can submit their names and their songs and the lyrics, because this year also you invite lyricists, yes, to send their poems, all the...
Yes, that's correct. We have a lyrics only category. We have a young achievers for 14 years and under, and we have a non-performing songwriter category where the songwriters that just write but they don't perform. And again, to enter, you go to the Club Jumpers website, which is clubjumpersmusic.com, and you look at the top and you'll see the Your Music Out Loud link. Click on it and it will show all the prizes, how to enter, the categories, the judges, and as we have yourself and Mike Gormley judging as well this year, which is very exciting. And thank you, Alana, for promoting us on LA Talk Radio. Oh. And we know many people are listening, especially in Australia.
I love that. Anyway, world is one. Then for right now, we are staying with Bounty Sanders. Mwah! Thank you so much. Until next month. Bye-bye. cows. Great. Thank you so, so much. Hi, Australia. Hi, Bounty Hunters. So, so cool. I'm very proud that I could play your new single here on LA Talk Radio, Accent Down. But right now, Yannick, we were saying you were 18 years old and 2 years ago, you just wound up to be in LA in a school studying acting. And then I met you. I just thought that something really, really unusual about you. I loved how you look. I loved how you act. I loved how you were rapping. I tried to make you sing, but that was a problem.
That was a little problem.
I'm a pretty good coach, but sometimes I need to say, you know what, I will find some strength in you that is maybe better in a 6 weeks, of course, period, than a singing. Yeah. And we found out that you can rap outside of being an actor.
Yeah, I've never done that before. And we did a song and...
Song will be on an album, on EP for Abby and Stephen Dale. He came to the studio. We all worked very, very hard. And I really think you did very, very good. For me, rap was pretty crazy. But why not? And write a song that has little... unusual flavor, like people see, is danceable, then I want people to hear.
Yeah.
Because from idea, yes, we'll be hearing right now.
You'll hear it? Okay.
I didn't hear it too, so.
I know. We had them in the studio like 2-3 weeks ago, but you
I wasn't there, yeah.
So busy, I couldn't get you.
I know. It's been a good couple of weeks now, so.
You are working. We'll be talking a little bit more about what's going on in your life. We're very excited about that. But for right now, hey, Abby, Bollywood, and Bollywood Dreams. I'm very proud of this one.
Bollywood scenes. I'm not a stranger to these dangerous games.
Abbey, Bollywood Dreams, and Yannick Colleen.
That's so awesome.
Did you like it, Yannick?
I liked it. Yeah, it fits well to all together, you know.
Yeah, and
it fits very well.
Production of the single is great. Dance I Love It, punch music, amazing. Yeah, he did great stuff on your lower part of the voice for the rap.
Yeah, he did a good job, too. That was my first time listening to it, and... I'm pretty surprised, yeah.
You work so well in a studio. What about next rap? Do you want to do something like that? More?
I mean, I'm always open to pretty much anything, so why not?
Why not? Thank you so much, because I really, really think you belong on a stage, whatever the stage means. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think he's great.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Hearing that, first of all, the song's so upbeat and fun.
Thank you so much.
You're talented. I had no idea you wrote and produced this music. It's brilliant.
I know, but you still need to have talented people.
Well, it's everybody comes together to make it a whole.
That's just like
the movie business or anything.
And today we are here, I think, for certain reason too. You never can understand why certain people in certain time come together around the one table. I really, really believe we'll be friends, and we have so much in common. You know,
I think so too.
And even today, I was saying, "Okay, hi, this is Yannick. You know, he's working with Mike Gormley, and I really think we all have a lot of things in common. And who knows what great things will pop up in next few weeks because of this today's day." Yannick, I need to find out because you are here for a reason. What's new?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Lana, for the song. You know, it's been a great opportunity that I took. Gladly. And
you'll be on an album in September. I think we'll be done with 6 songs, EP.
Oh, that's
then,
great.
Yes, yeah. Abby recorded second song, third song is in the making, and
nice.
3 more, and you know, yes, and you'll be on iTunes.
Right, that's, yeah.
Feature Yannick, we need to find you a name, the rapper. Okay, you better think who you will be.
Yeah,
you could go under Yannick Colleen. I think you have a cool name anyway. Then what's new? We know that life could be lonely in Los Angeles or very, very busy, and I couldn't get you to the show. Mm-hmm. That means that you were very, very busy. Then what did you do for the last few weeks?
Yeah, I was busy, you know. I was studying a lot, just reading, working on auditions, on very different stuff, you know. So that kept me very busy, and you know, of my friends and my girlfriend. So she's been great. So yeah, I think she's listening. So
hi, we miss you, beautiful. And you mentioned that you are like watching a lot of movies right now. And Netflix is what you've been watching.
I've been watching 13 Reasons Why, like pretty much everyone else. But
13 Reasons Why. Why everybody watches this movie?
I think it's something very new that came up in 2017. It's a subject that not a lot of TV shows and movies have talked about. And the way they wrote...
We're talking about suicide. Yeah, suicide.
And the way they wrote the whole script, it's in a way that just keeps you want to watch the whole series, you know?
Yeah, you know, I saw a discussion, pretty heavy discussion, about almost making parents aware why... Mm-hmm. Young people are watching so much this movie and could be almost destructive or dangerous, because a question of young people and suicide, this is something just petrifying, and parents and young people, and they say that this movie glorifies suicide, that the way how they say is almost making the heroes of people, of the girl who commits suicide. And why? Mm-hmm. How did you find this movie for yourself?
It was very eye-opening, I think, because you just saw how the students at the school were not aware of what they were doing, mm-hmm. and the way they were seeing... Because basically the story is she recorded...
Tapes before she
took her own life, and just to explain why she went to this point. And you just see the students... very confused and scared because they were not aware of what they were doing, mm-hmm. and
I think this is a very important discussion yesterday.
So in other words, they were forced to confront their own actions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yes. Yeah. And everyone was scared, of course. And
yeah, I lost my sister to suicide, you know, then till this day, 20-something years, I still always question myself what I didn't do to prohibit mm-hmm. her from doing, you know, what she did. And the same with young people who are so vulnerable. And, you know, we are talking about bullying. We are talking social media have so much impact right now on how young people and even us, how we perceive ourselves, you know. Yes, Taylor?
I just want to say you and I have a lot more in common than we realized. I also lost somebody to suicide very close to me. I have a different outlook on it, though. I really believe that it is the person's choice. Mm-hmm. We're all given free will. And how you respond to your environment, I mean, it's the same reason why somebody will grow up and become a junkie, and another person may become a Rhodes Scholar, and they'd be in the same environment, because it's about that person's internal mechanism. So with respect to your sister, there's nothing you could have done or not done.
Yeah. She was much older. She was in 30s. But if we are having conversation about young people between, you know, even 8 years old boy, I think recently on a TV they said that commits suicide boy, you know, 8 years old, he hanged himself, you know, he found a way how to. But that's, we are talking children and teenagers, you know, and then you think, is this they... environment in school that pushed them to do that? Is this their first love who just made them so crazy that they just cannot find themselves out, or breakups, or right. You know, all of these things? And obvious as a parent, busy parents, how close we can get to the children and observe every move right. that they make in a school, outside of the school, and how much really we can protect them from anything in this crazy life. Grown-ups, I agree with you. Mostly we supposed to have our will and knowing if we want to get out of a hard situation in life or just reach out for help. But the younger people, they just have no idea where to turn to. You know,
I agree with you on that point,
you
actually.
Too?
Yeah, I do. And I think that if there's a way to illuminate students as to how they're treating people mm-hmm. and making them treat them better, then that's always a good thing. Yeah. It's going to help overall.
And I want to talk on accent on that serious stuff, and people sometimes don't want to hear. My show is mostly entertaining, and we have amazing, talented people. Today we are talking to Yannick Collin, and if some people want to find out more about Yannick, please. Website, your website is?
YannickCollin.com, or just add me on Facebook at Yannick Collin, or Instagram at yan.solo. Reference to Han Solo.
That's cool. And you know, Yannick is coming.
First.
Yeah, and he's coming here to our show often. I am very, very sure that he will make it. He will make big in Hollywood. He's destined to be a star. He's just beautiful human being, and we are watching his career. We are hoping that somebody who listens to our show also will just go and check him out and say, "Wow, you know, this." I know somebody who maybe needs somebody like Yannick in a role. I know next Wednesday you have very good audition, and you'll be filming this audition. That this will help you also to add more to your reel. Yes, you need to.
Yeah, working on that too. And this week I have auditions, and do I still have time? Or
yeah, you can say like a few minutes, yes.
Okay, well, this week I have two auditions, one at theater and one for a role in the TV series, I believe. But it's just a big week of just preparation and staying focused. But on the positive side, there's this album that it's pretty close to my heart, and that just came out on May 12th. It's Machine Gun Kelly's new album, and I have to talk about it. If you know me, it's a big part of who I am, and it's a very positive album. So it just gives me because
energize you.
Yeah,
positive. You are right, because
it
most
energize
of,
me. Yeah,
you know, it's so beautiful because we'll be talking about the. I'm so happy you are here. But we'll be talking about your book, Tyler. Which people, some people could say, "Oh, wow!" You know, when I start reading, sound depressing, sound scary, sound this and that. But then, you know, the outcome of this book is just hilarious. It's just amazing. You're an amazing human being. You are writing about your life, and boy, you are doing well in life. But I'll take. I'll take the interview towards your book right now, because we were talking about, you know, suicide. We were talking about probably troubled youth who has an issue.
Right.
And we have beautiful young 20 years old actor who is just very clean and very self-aware, and he's building himself up listening to positive songs on the album. That's what you want to do. And you are in this Hollywood of craziness and weirdness, in holy weird, how we say. And now we have this book, Cocaine to Bang. Please, you are a writer. Just, I said that when I start reading this book, I'm like, how can I like the lady who wrote this book? She's in trouble for so many pages. She's a troubled woman. Where life will take her? I was scared to read, and I'm on page 140 something, and I know you now. I know you're fine, and I'm not worried. What is the end of this book? But please, can you pitch this book for us?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, this book started out, I worked at Guitar Center in the 80s, and the book was originally going to be a compendium of stories of different people throughout the years in the history of GC. I run the Guitar Center alumni page on Facebook, so I have access to all these people. And I keep in touch with a lot of them, and I know a lot of them through the years. And, you know, I started to gather their stories and little tidbits here and there. And then I set out to write the book, and the book really wrote itself. I mean, I have copious diaries from my time back then. So I ended up, you know, putting that together, and that is what turned out to be more of a year in my life. So as I was writing the book basically turned into a year in my life at Guitar Center, and then a lot of stories intermingled. Some of the people in the book are real characters and have given me their permission, and other people wanted to be in the book but didn't sign the releases, so they didn't get in. And you know, but it's a little crazy. I mean, you know, you got to remember, this is the 80s. This is like the Breakfast Club. This is like, drugs were popular. I mean, drugs were a thing. Today, you know, you sit here across from me, Yanni, and you're very straight-laced, clean, sober kid, and you know what you want out of life. You're here to act and get what you want to done. And I came out to L.A., and I came from a very wealthy family. Drugs were prevalent and abundant, and we just sort of took the town. I mean, and this was also the Wild West back then. It was not, corporations in the sense of how they are now are not what they were back then.
Yeah.
It was a pretty wild time. I mean, I'd actually like to read a couple things from the book.
Absolutely.
So this is actually me getting the gig. Okay, so today, you know, when you get a job, you have to interview multiple times.
Multiple times.
So, you know, you have to apply on the internet, blah, blah, blah. I literally walked in off the street in a pair of fishnets, high-heeled boots, garters, and, you know, a leather bustier, and got the job, and just literally got hired. So here's a section from me getting hired and being on the floor. I lit a cigarette. We could smoke on the floor. We could wear what we wanted, dress how we wanted, show up when we wanted. As long as we were doing our jobs and making the boys money, we could do just about anything and get away with it. There were no guides, no handbooks, no training modules, and no corporate bullshit rules. It was the Wild West. I'd been there almost 4 hours, greeting people, checking their receipts on the way out, and making new friends, when a guy with jet black curly hair and mirrored sunglasses strode by carrying an expensive Les Paul. "Excuse me," I said. "Can you show me your receipt, please? I just need to initial it." He stopped for a second and stared straight at me. I knew instinctively something wasn't right because of the way he was holding the guitar. He had it by the neck, but there was something about the manner in which he was holding it that said two things. First, I knew it wasn't his because he's sort of manhandling it. And then the odd angle by which he was carrying it showed a lack of respect. Most guys treat their guitars better than their girlfriends. This guy was holding the Les Paul like they had already broken up. I repeated myself, "Sir, I need to see your receipt, please." The guy stood stock still. He looked at the front door, open and less than 3 feet away. He looked towards the main room. John Thomas was with a customer. Porter was with a customer. Todd was nowhere to be found. Lance was in Pro Audio. He might as well have been in another country. Everyone was somewhat engaged, and no one paid the guy with the Les Paul any attention. He looked back at me, and then he bolted out the front door with a stolen Les Paul worth over 5 G's. "Holy shit," I said as I dashed out after him. "Help," I screamed, "thief." And I was up on the guy's back before he made it 5 feet outside the store. I clung to him like a coke whore to her supplier. I closed my eyes and refused to let go. He spun me around and I thought, this is it. I'm going to get mauled by this guy. But when I looked up, there were 10 guys from the store outside surrounding me. Sussex was out first, followed by Windermere, followed by Todd Creven, George Lampos, Mitch Quinn, Lance Crevet, Buddy the Smoker, John Thomas Wolfe, and the hippie Jim Crawford. I think it was Windermere who pulled me off the guy. Sussex had the Les Paul, and the other guys surrounded the bandit. Todd walked me back into the store. He sized me up. "You okay?" I was shook up, but I was actually fine. "Yeah," I mumbled. Everyone was commending me on the fine job I did. "Nice save," said Sussex as he walked the Les Paul back into the store and restored it to its rightful place. "Thanks," I said. Windermere looked the most surprised. "She jumped on the guy's back! Right on his fucking back! Did you see that?" "Well, that's what we told her to do," said Todd proudly. "I know, but she did it in her little miniskirt and fishnets. Holy Toledo," said Windermere. Todd smiled. When the crowd cleared, he turned to me. "So, babe, you're hired." "Yeah, it's official," I asked. "Yeah, babe, it's official." So that was my first day. And I mean, you know, they basically set me up in the front as the check-in girl. I was the original check-in girl at the store. And said, if a guy comes out, if anyone runs out without you know, showing you the receipt, jump on their back. So I kind of took it to heart and just did that. I mean, today, though, now you look at a store like Apple, you see people stealing computers. The people in the store are not legally even allowed to touch the perps. They can't even go after them. Yep. They just let them walk out the store because they're feeling like, you know, A, that people could get hurt. Yep. B, you know, they could be liable for, you know, a variety of different reasons. That was not the case back then. I mean, if somebody was doing something bad, you just went after them. Guns blazing, basically, you know.
And you were a girl, 20 years old girl, yes.
I was 20 years old.
You know, what was amazing when I read this book, that really Guitar Center was something when you saw first time this big, big store, you felt like this would be part of your life right away. And many times in life, you know, when we have the like epiphany,
sixth sense,
really things like that happen. And it's lovely that you are reading your own book because it's your life, and then will be amazing to have you to read if not whole book, you know, I don't know how long this will take, but really from your mouth to people's ears and imagination. That is something what I loved it so much. When I read your book, I close my eyes sometimes. I'm like, I imagine this girl. How is she? Of course, I see your pictures and I know you from Facebook. Right. And then I was checking you out here and there on the website and stuff like that. That I felt, but I didn't know what personality you bring to the studio. And I see this feisty girl, I see the powerful lady, and I see very colorful human being with so many talents. Then reading in the beginning the book about your problem with drugs and trying to find yourself alive in LA and excited about whatever you're doing and studying, because you're a very well educated human being.
Yes.
Give us something about you. It's not all about your book.
It took me 20 years to get there.
Yeah. No, didn't tell
us. I actually did. I mean, I came out to LA to study acting, and I got into this acting. I was in Arizona, and I was studying English romantic literature, and I was kind of screwing off at college there. And I came out here on a whim and continually wanting to move west. I think I told you that earlier outside the studio. Like, have this peripatetic sense of like always wanting to travel and move and see things, or at least I did back then. And got here and just kind of worked and did whatever and kind of tooled around. I mean, when I was working, I mean, you have to remember that I was working at GC, and other people were there making a living. I was just using pin money to buy Coke. I mean, my family was paying for everything else, so it wasn't like I had any kind of sense of, you know, needing that job. You know, it was all fun. Everything was sort of fun. But yes, I did finally get off of drugs, get my shit together, and I did get to school, and I graduated magna cum laude from Loyola Marymount University. I won the screenwriting award for my class. I worked at HBO for 7 years in their film development division. I worked at NBC Uni as a script consultant and script doctor. I worked for people doing ghostwriting. I was hired to write a script based on the best-selling novel A Conspiracy of Paper by David Liss. So, I mean, I've done some great... I feel like I've redeemed myself for sure.
Yeah. You know? It's a beautiful story, is the journey that you took, and the 80s were crazy.
It was. I mean, it was a different... Look.
Different,
I
everything. Mean, 70s people, were different, 80s people, were different. Yeah.
People... That was part of the lifestyle. Doing drugs was part of the lifestyle. It wasn't separated. It wasn't looked down upon. In fact, it was like a badge of honor. You know, you were expected to do that. That was part of the whole milieu that we were in. But you know, you graduate from that, or at least hopefully you do. I mean, some people don't. People, unfortunately, like John Belushi died. You know, I mean, just, you know. People die, and or they don't, or they grow up, you know. So
then if you can, we have time, of course, for maybe more reading. I love how you
okay
read.
I will
could you give us something?
Yes, how much time do we have left?
Oh, like 7 minutes.
Okay, before we do that, because I don't want to forget,
yes,
I want to thank Reinhold Schwarzwald.
Hi,
because he introduced me to you, and I thank him for that. And I want to thank Lorianne Scully and Beckham Van Zandt, because they have been so gracious posting on Facebook for me, my book, and supportive of that. I want to thank Michelle Bernheim also for editing my book and helping me. And Bill Hemp, my fiancé, who is just the best guy in the whole world, who you'll meet and probably
wait.
Work on electronic music with him.
Yeah, I would love to meet him. When he's coming here to town?
Oh, well, that's a good question.
Come on,
faster. Hold our breath.
Anyway, accent on is waiting. But yes, you get a great people helping you, but you help yourself the most.
I do.
Then please read something
okay.
for us.
All right. So this is, do you know who David Coverdale is?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of the gals that was working at GC and I, and this is towards the end when we were realizing that the job system and how things were working are going to change significantly. And we used to hang out at the Rainbow. That was like our hang, and we called it the Blow Blow. That was the name of the club, basically. I mean, not like because we were doing blow in the club, not because we were giving blowjobs in the club.
I know.
Okay. Like to clarify that. There is an element of sex, but this was more about the drugs. Okay. So Sue and I had been inside at the Blow talking about the demise of GC and possibly our jobs for so long that we were too busy to realize that someone famous had been sitting drinking at the bar almost the entire night. And we only saw him when we were outside leaving. It was none other than David Coverdale. Sue was flabbergasted. "Dude, holy shit, look who it is." She was all but hyperventilating. "I see him," I said. "And really, how could we not? The valets had just pulled up in his white Jaguar, the one from his Here I Go Again music video, which also featured his very limber and soon-to-be wife, Tawny Catane. In an ironic twist of events, my Trans Am was brought out right behind his Jag. We hopped in. I pulled out and turned a sharp left. "Dude, what are you doing?" Sue said when I didn't stop in front of her car. "I'm following David Coverdale. What the hell do you think I'm doing?" "What? Seriously? What if he goes into Hollywood?" "Well, good that I have a full tank of gas then, I guess," I laughed. Turned out we didn't have to drive very far. He pulled into the Le Mondrian, the fancy hotel on the Strip, just a few blocks east of the Blow Blow. "Dude, seriously, what are you doing?" She was like a kid who had wished and wished and wished for a certain prize, only to be terrified once it arrived. "He's obviously going to the Le Mondrian. So we're going to go to the Le Mondrian." "Oh my God, you're fucking crazy," Sue laughed. "Look, it's a hotel. We could be checking in for all they know." "Yeah, of course, that's right. We could be checking in with no luggage." "Or having a drink," I reassured her. "Or we could be hookers," Sue rolled her eyes. "Dude, what are we going to say?" I'll figure that out when we get up to him, I implored. I was never afraid to talk to celebrities, but I never liked to have a set plan in my head either, because it was my experience that nothing ever went the way you planned it in your head, so why waste the time even plotting it out? My experience led me to believe that the very best thinking was done on your feet and on the fly. I pulled my Trans Am up behind his white Jag and let the valet at the Le Mondrian park my car. We followed Coverdale into the lobby. Sue loved him. He wasn't really my type, but I went up to him and introduced myself and grabbed Sue, who was speechless and just stood there, frozen with her mouth agape. I pulled Sue in front of me. "Hi, David. This is my friend Sue, and she is your biggest fan." He looked at us, and I could swear he checked us out from top to bottom, but then thought the better of it. He's got to be plugging top models. What would he want us for? "Let's have some drinks then," he said. He sounded so British. Probably because he was so British. "You're going to catch flies with your mouth open like that," I said to Sue as we followed him to the back of the hotel where there was indeed a bar. "What'll it be, ladies?" There was no one at the bar. It was late and the Mondrian wasn't exactly a hip spot. In fact, none of the hotel bars were considered particularly cool. It wasn't like they had places like the Standard and the remodeled Hyatt or the Roosevelt where it was chill to hang at the pool and have a drink. "Anything with tequila," I said. Sue didn't answer. "She'll have a gin and tonic," I said for her. "Well done," said David. Sue pinched me, then whispered in my ear, "Are we having drinks with David Coverdale?" "Yes," I said smoothly. I turned to David. "So, are you meeting friends here or something?" I had to ask because it seemed odd that he'd leave the blow to come to this quiet hotel for drinks. "No, I live here," he answered. "You live at the hotel?" I questioned. Now I was flabbergasted. "Yes," he said, as if I were daft. The bartender brought us our drinks. "Okay, so forgive me for this, but I'm just perplexed. You live at the hotel." "Yes," he said again. He seemed to be getting annoyed. He didn't seem to have much patience or a sense of humor. I thought him living at the hotel was bizarre. How could anyone live at a hotel? That would mean you wouldn't have a kitchen in your place, and where there's no kitchen, there's no fridge. And what if you woke up in the middle of the night and wanted to get something from your fridge, like apple juice, and you didn't have a fridge? Would you have to call the concierge? What a royal pain in the ass. We were having drinks with David Coverdale, and all I was thinking about was the fact that he probably didn't have a refrigerator. "Do you have a fridge?" I asked. "Dude, seriously," said Sue, "you're asking if he has a refrigerator?" "Yes," he said, "yes, I do."
"I do."
"It's a mini fridge, isn't it?" "Yes, yes, it is. You may see it if you like." Now my mouth was agape. "I don't understand," I said. "I just think it'll be a lot more cozy upstairs in my place."
Uh-oh.
Now I was tongue-tied. Did David Coverdale just ask us to come upstairs with him? "Dude," Sue whispered, "he's interested in one of us." "Or both of us," I said, and now I rolled my eyes. "So, ladies, what'll it be?" he smirked at us. I was about to answer when Sue spoke up. Yeah, I just have to call someone about my car."
Uh-oh.
"What, the valet, you mean?" "No," said Sue, and then she launched into the problems with her piece-of-shit car and the steam coming up from under the hood and how she's going to have to find somewhere to take it because the dealership is way too expensive. And the guy who fixed it last time totally ripped her off, and I could see David Coverdale's eyes just glazing over. "Yeah, sure," he said. "Perhaps another time, ladies." And with that, he strode out of the bar. "Dude, did David Coverdale just ditch us?" Sue asked. "Yeah, because what the fuck were you talking about your car troubles for? No one wants to hear that. Least of all, Mr. Fancy Pants Rockstar." "I don't know why I said all that. I couldn't stop myself," she said. Sue was nervous. "Well, look at the bright side. We got a free drink from David Coverdale." "Actually, ladies, he didn't pay up," said the bartender as he continued to wipe down the bar.
I didn't read this part yet, but boy, this is so exciting to... and it's very different accent on. I never had a writer to read on book. Again, today we have interview with...
Taylor Van Arsdale.
And name of the book is...
Cocaine to Bane, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, and the Inside Story of the Hollywood Guitar Center.
I really think people need to go to Amazon and purchase the copy.
Yeah, or they can go to my website, taylorvanarsdale.com, and it's available on the website as well, and all my script services and my writing services are available there. So if somebody needs help with something or they're trying to get a treatment together... I work with a lot of different people.
Somehow I believe you will be back. I would love you to just talk about your memories from 80s and just move forward to, you know, from troubled life, which you called Fan Life. You really didn't perceive this as a travel. This was your journey, very unusual, you know, 80s journey. You know, but yeah, it was your life. It is your life.
I'm going to tell you something really interesting. So I was at Guitar Center recently, and a girl came in, and she was standing by the counter, and I was waiting because I was selling a guitar. And the guy who was helping me was kind of, you know, ringing stuff up and whatnot. And she started to ask him, oh, do you see a lot of famous people in the store? Oh, like, she was a tourist, and she was completely starry-eyed. And, you know, she was asking him about Justin Bieber. Did Justin Bieber come into the store? Well, you know, nothing's changed, because that used to happen to me when I worked there, but it was about Motley Crue or, you know, Eddie Van Halen. Yeah. And, I mean, this is just nothing changes. It's still the same, you know?
God, thank you, stores like that exist a little in different ways right now. But you know what? We have the book. We have the book, and people can feel how the store looked inside, the people's relationship your stories. It's just really very, very cool, and hopefully we'll be turning to the movie or TV show.
Yeah, hopefully.
You never know.
Thank you.
Then for right now, again, the time is crazy, running up. Okay, we have Yannick Collin with us, and
yes,
your website is
YannickCollin.com. And I just want to say, I was so focused on your reading, I couldn't talk, so...
But you will be back.
Yeah, we're just listening to you talking, so that's why.
We all will be back, and I will be sure that the book Mike Gormley will read. He'll be having fun to read the book.
Please.
And
it's available
soon,
on Amazon.com.
One more time, accent on all of us, and I hope people enjoyed your reading.
Thank you. And thank you, Ilana. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. This
thank
is
you so much.
Yeah,
number one
me.
Show. We'll be having more.
Thank you for having me again. Yeah.
You are.
Again and again.
My boy, you are welcome anytime when you are not busy.
Thank you.
For today.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.